love. I'm not the girl who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much, but look at me now. Yeah, I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much, but look at me now. Yeah, I'm a new girl in a world. Never knew that life was like this. With a new heart, brand new start. Gonna be a Mrs. Chemist. So I'm the girl who turned out a lover. Yeah, I'm the girl who laughed. Yeah, those blue diamond rings. Just one of those things, but look at me now.
Would you mind introducing your band for us?
I would love to. It's my favorite thing, actually. Jimmy Doxis on drums. Morgan Moore on bass. Perry Smith on guitar. And my very longtime collaborator, Mr. Paul Schroffel, on piano.
So you were born in Russia.
I was.
And then you were raised in Israel.
Yes.
And then you ended up in Toronto.
Yes.
So maybe not the... the average person makes kind of moves like that. So can you tell us a little bit about why you left certain places and how you ended up in newer places?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born in Russia, and like so many Russian Jews, my parents were looking for a way out and started thinking about moving in the mid-'80s and then got their paperwork together. And then as soon as the Iron Curtain started kind of cracking in 1990, they got out to Israel. And we moved to Israel with the full intentions of staying, never, you know, intending to make another move, and, built a life there. But the security situation got a little too hairy for my parents because they didn't grow up in Israel and serving in the army and being part of that whole thing. So they found it very difficult to envision their kids going to the army and serving, and as the buses started blowing up more and more, I mean, they started thinking of moving to Canada, which is one of the safest, most stable places in the world, and that's where we moved when I was 16.
Now, I read that when you moved from Russia to Israel, you were a little limited on the possessions you could take with you, but one of the things that your family took was a collection of jazz records.
Yes.
Why, when it was so limited on what you could take, why was it so important that this collection went with you?
Well, we weren't actually allowed to take any money out of Russia, so the only thing we could bring was a little bit of furniture, and my parents brought their collection of, you know, their friends who were artists, and they brought some paintings with them, and the records, which were a very, very important part of my dad's life. He spent much of his life collecting them in Russia, and really a lot of personal, expense. It was, most of the stuff was illegal, so you had to go to the black market and do a lot of trading. So to get one Oscar Peterson album, you needed to trade I don't know how many chickens and books and things like that. So they brought the collection with them, and that collection formed my first introduction and, you know, to great North American and European music.
So if your family hadn't taken this jazz collection with them, would you be singing right now?
Interesting. Maybe. I mean, there were definitely jazz records in Israel, and my dad would have gone to the shops and started something new. But I don't know. There's something about that collection with all of the Mahalia Jackson and Nat King Cole or Oscar Peterson and Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong and Beatles. There was something about that particular collection and those particular songs that really clicked with me and formed my first consciousness of music.
Is there one record from that collection that stands out to you that you can recall?
Absolutely. There was a duet record, Oscar Peterson and Count Basie, that I listened to over and over and over again. And, you know, there's a Nat King Cole record that I remember extremely well. The Mahalia Jackson record I remember really well. It was really funny to be probably the only Jewish family in Israel blaring out songs about Jesus in our tiny little apartment. But, I mean, and of course, I took that stuff and I ran with it, and now I'm bringing records to my dad to hear. But that was my introduction to fantastic music.
Great. Well, we'd love to hear another song.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Here's Till There Was You. Doo-doo-dee, 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 doo-doo-dee. There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. And there was music and wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn. And dew, there was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you. Oh, yes. I never heard it Thank you.
Sophie Millman and her band, live on 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. I was reading up, and I always kind of wondered what a vocalist goes through when they lose their voice.
Mm.
And I read after you finished Take Love Easy, which was your third album, that you dealt with that. And and what sort of emotional stress does a singer go through when they lose their voice?
It's pretty much the worst thing you can imagine, because in spite of yourself, you become so obsessed with this thing, this little thing in your throat, and it's these two tiny little vocal cords and the little tiny little muscles around them. They're probably some of the smallest muscles in your body, but you become completely fixated on them, and you come to be defined by them. And when probably what happened to me wasn't as severe, but it really kind of grew in my head into something huge, and I suffered a real confidence hit. And it took me quite a little while to get over that and build my confidence up again. And I did that within the Moonlight. I mean, I went down to New York, had to overcome a lot of fears and a lot of insecurities, and I left Toronto and went down to New York for a few weeks to record this album with some of the greatest jazz musicians alive today. And at the end of the process, I had something tangible to hold on to. So the hold of the voice loss was a little bit weaker with every single day in the studio, with every single successful gig after we finished recording. So to singers who are dealing with this, the only thing I can say is work on your technique. I started taking vocal lessons professionally, you know, really working on my voice and making it into a real discipline. But I would say work on your instrument and get out there as quickly as you can. Otherwise, the longer you sit and fester in the kind of self-pity and the kind of sadness that this brings about, the harder it will be to emerge from it.
You toured in Japan this fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard from a variety of musicians that playing in Japan and Tokyo is like playing nowhere else in the world.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like playing there?
This was my ninth trip to Japan in about six years. Japan has been an unbelievable market for me. I think Paul, my piano player, who's been there with me every single time, will concur that you're kind of treated like rock stars. You know, we're not used to that in North America, where even the biggest jazz stars in the world, I mean, Diana Krall can walk down the street and people be like, eh, you know, and Lady Gaga, everybody will go crazy. In Japan, they actually go crazy over jazz artists. I mean, I've had people waiting for me at 10 o'clock in the morning to sign autographs as I'm going down to the gym in my sweats and no makeup. And it's something really special. And the audiences, when you're actually playing, I mean, they're so intelligent. They're so into the music. They know the standards. They're kind of mouthing the words. And they're really, really passionate about jazz. And it's one of the only markets where CDs are still selling, where there's pretty minimal downloading. It's a culture of real respect, and I think that extends to music as well. And we can learn a lot from the Japanese. I mean, especially after the last the tsunami and then the horrible thing that they went through. The way they deal with things is very admirable and honorable, and I love my time there.
Well, and that also extended into those who showed up at your shows too, right? You had some fans that you said we're at every single one. You recognize the faces.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the guys actually came from the north, and he was he's from the area that was hit. And when I came to Tokyo, I mean, he came down and he stayed in a hotel and he came to every single show. And at the end of my last show in Tokyo, I took him and this other girl I recognized again from every single show. And you have to understand, it's two shows a night, four nights in a row, the cost of $100 a ticket. You know,
oh, wow.
So these are they're really making an investment, and I took them. I kind of grabbed them, and I took them backstage just so I can thank them and give them a hug. And he was crying. He said, "It's the happiest day of my life."
Wow.
And for me, I just that's just so touching, because you go through so much stuff when you're on the road. You know, bad hotel rooms and stressful travel days and, you know, bad sounding rooms sometimes. But then you focus on those moments that make it so special.
That's great. Well, we would love to hear one more song.
Sure, we'd love
to.
Let me love you
Let me show that I do. If you lend me your ear, I'll make it clear the way that I do. Let me whisper it. Let me sigh it. Let me sing it, my dear, or I will cry it. Let me love you. Let me show that I do. Let me do a million impossible things so you know that I do. I'll buy you the dawn if you let me love you today. And tomorrow I'll send you merrily on your way. Let me love you. Let me show that I do. If you lend me your ear, I'll make it clear the way that I do. Let me whisper it. Let me sigh it. Let me sing it, my dear, or I will cry it. Let me love you. Let me show that I do. Let me do a million impossible things so you know that I do. I'll buy you the dawn if you let me love you today. And tomorrow I'll send you merrily on your way.
Thank you.